Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
It's a Not a Thing podcast, and we don't have a guest.
What? So it's just you and I talking then?
Yes. Yes. We haven't
done
this.
Do you remember how to do this?
Yeah, right? It's been at least 6 weeks now? 7 weeks?
I think we're 6 weeks in a row, but we were 7 for 8.
Right.
With guests.
Yes.
Although on the plus side, that's like one less person to try not to talk over. So I guess in a way it'll be easier. But now the emphasis is on us to produce content.
It hopefully will be easy. I remember when we were doing it, because there is a slight delay when we talk. Mm-hmm. When there's a third person there, it's even like just the slightest bit more of a delay. So I don't know. It can sound a little odd when we're, we're either talking over each other or we're waiting just that extra like quarter of a second to see if if there's another thing that has to be said.
Well, before the streak started, we did have like 60 of these things under our belt, so I think we've had a little practice.
A little bit.
Just a question of whether we're going to be rusty or not.
Yeah. Well, maybe a little bit. I don't know. At least the one good thing about our podcast is that whether there's a guest or not, there's little to no waste, at least economically. I think we are definitely in the red. But we're as efficient as we can be in the red.
Yeah, we follow the government model.
So apparently, though, there's a sector of government that is horribly inefficient and in the red. And actually, are they in the red? I don't know.
They've got to be.
They have to be.
When we say what the number is and who it is, they have to be in the red. Considering they don't produce any money.
Oh, yeah. So the article you found was about the Pentagon, and I guess there is kind of an ongoing audit, essentially, of the Pentagon's practices, which you would hope there is kind of a periodic accounting kind of checkup or anything like that.
There's a law that requires federal agencies to have annual audits to match up their books with the Treasury's books. And the Pentagon, since 1996, which I know that's a while back, but it's not that long ago, has an $8.5 trillion, with a T, trillion-dollar... Where did it go? There's an $8.5 trillion oops. Use fake numbers for their reports. They just make it's all bad bookkeeping.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember years ago there was this the article about the like $400 hammer or whatever, and the way that it worked was that there would be, you know, a purchase order for a bunch of stuff, and rather than line it out about what each of those things are, they just kind of agree on a number in the aggregate and then divide that by however many items it is, and that's how much each of those things costs. So like the example was that, you know, there's a hammer that costs $400, and it's like, oh, look at this outrage, look at this waste when you take it out of context. But then, you know, there's an airplane that cost $400, and that's why the numbers kind of break out that way. But even with that, I feel like there's probably some slop. And how many trillion?
8.6 trillion.
Okay, so let's say that's like 9, and 1996 is 19 years ago. So let's say it's 18. So that's like
half, you know, $500 billion a year.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Roughly.
8.5 trillion, not 8.6. Still. Yeah. And
roughly half a billion or 500 billion a year. Gah.
Yeah, no, it's the article, not half a billion, 500 billion.
Right, 500 billion. That's $1 billion a day. More than that.
More than. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's not the budget. That's the slop. That's the miss.
That's not the budget. That's the, we don't know where that money went.
Wow. That's a lot of money. Yikes.
Yeah. It's a very long article. I would recommend people read it. We'll put it in the show notes. But it covered, like, that's the tip of the iceberg. And it goes on from there to explain, like, all these things about how, you know, we don't dispose of ammunition or don't dispose of equipment because it's cheaper just to store it. So we have all these stockpiles of all this C4, bullets, tanks, just sitting.
Right by the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah.
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 It's easier just to, okay, we'll spend money and buy new stuff and just keep all the old stuff too.
Wow, they kind of operate like my house.
Using the I can't find it rule, I'm gonna buy a new one.
Yeah, I almost had to invoke that rule this week, or rather the veto to that rule was almost invoked. So those of you that follow me on Twitter or whatever, I lost my GoPro for almost a month, and it was the point where I had narrowed it down, kind of followed my steps and figured out, oh yeah, I must have lost it on the trip to Chicago, because that was the last time I remember using it. And I thought, oh well, TSA might have stolen it out of my bag in between connecting flights or something, because that was literally the last time I remember seeing it. And it turns out it was sitting next to one of the computers in the house, just kind of under a pile of stuff, and my wife found it, so that was good. But it had definitely been there for a solid month, and I just had never seen it, so it's
points
the kind of
to
thing
Julie.
Like, yeah. So I think the takeaways from this are do better accounting, and B, put your stuff away earlier.
keeping track of things is a thing.
Yes. Yes.
We all, from the smallest man with a GoPro to, not saying you're the smallest man with a GoPro. I was just saying in scale, from the entire U.S. military to one person.
Right. Right, right, right.
Everyone must, you know, keep track of your stuff.
We must all do our part to keep our shit together. Excellent.
Well, it's not keeping your shit together is not just an American problem.
No, not at all.
We have now discovered it's in fact a Canadian problem as well.
and we're always so complimentary towards Canada. Well, maybe not. I don't know.
I think it goes in both ways.
They're generally very complimentary to us too. So it's been kind of wild to watch for the past, I don't know, it's been, I feel like I heard about it maybe a month ago. So we're talking about Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. And
tips of the iceberg.
Yeah. I think I first heard about him like a month ago, maybe a couple months ago, because he had appeared in like a picture with some people who were like supposedly drug addicts, and he was kind of buddy buddy with them, and I thought it was just kind of a like funny picture that was leaked to the internet as like a like, look, he's kind of with his people, and oh haha, it turns out that they were kind of criminals. Oh, what, you know, whoops, kind of a thing. And it turns out it's a little more involved than that.
I'm kind of torn in this situation, whether this should be a thing or not should not be a thing. Because on the one hand, it's amazing to watch this happen. But on the other, he's a terrible human being.
Right, right. And probably not the best civic leader as it might go.
Who did he lose to? Or who did he beat? Who lost to him? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
How bad were they at campaigning? The largest city in Canada.
Yeah.
Chose, what's his name? Tommy. What's the last name? Tommy Boy. Someone's yelling at their iPod right now the name.
Wait, his real name or
No, the character's name.
No, the character's name. I don't know. Well, yeah, the allegations range from like abuse to pandering to drug use to definitely misappropriation of funds. I mean, I saw one of the headlines this morning was that he's reportedly offering bonuses to staffers that don't quit of like $5,000, and it's clear that all of that money is taxpayer money. So I'm sure that's misappropriation of funds. But there are videos of him like in city council meetings, and what happens is whenever he stands up to speak, like members of the city council turn around and start talking to each other, essentially just ignoring him. there was a fist fight at one of the meetings, and there's a gif that's running around of him like running from the lectern down the aisle, and he like picks up this woman that is kind of blocking him and carries her for what must be like 5 or 6 feet before like putting her down. And like, there's like this pile of people, and he kind of puts her down and then turns around and walks back to where he was. But
he may be the greatest internet hoax of all time. There's so many pictures of him doing these ridiculous things and just looking silly. Is it all just really good Photoshop? Like, is this the Onion's final campaign? He is the human onion.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does seem like an Onion story unfolding in major news. You know, what I haven't done is look to see if the Onion has commented on this at all. I wonder.
I'll have to check that out.
Anything. We'll have to look. It's It is pretty striking. So we'll probably have to link like a couple things. There are so many. You just look up Rob Ford.
We could have our own podcast just dedicated to him. We could have done a whole special episode.
Yeah.
A very special episode of Fun Thing Podcast. The Rob Ford story.
Right. So the deal is that the thing I read that he doesn't have to step down. There's nothing compelling him to until he's charged with a crime, because
they keep stripping him of his power.
Yeah, there's no. That's what I'm finding amazing. I mean, there's no essentially impeachment process or anything like that built into the. I mean, at the mayoral level, I guess in Canada, or at least in Vancouver or not Vancouver,
Toronto.
So the he's essentially there until the authorities charge him with an actual crime, which I'm surprised they don't just do. I feel like it would be.
Yeah, they have video of him smoking crack.
Yeah, it certainly seems like there's enough like actual evidence there. So come on, Canada, stop being so nice. Like, deal with your problems.
I will say I have to commend him. He has not done the typical politician move of lying and denying. It's just they ask him, and he just straight up says, "Yeah, I did that."
Yeah,
like, yeah, that's me. Right. Like, there was a video of him. They're being questioned by the city council, and they ask him, "Have you purchased drugs in the last 2 years?" And he just pauses and then says, "Yes." That would never happen in America.
Yeah, yeah. You would think that would be enough to.
Yeah, I smoked crack, but it was because I was drunk. You know, a lot of people smoke when they drink. It's like, oh, I only smoke cigarettes when I drink. In Canada, they just run a little harder.
Well, it's really cold, you know. I don't know. It's just as good of an excuse as his is, I think.
And he may be the first politician ever to admit participating in oral sex during a press conference.
Wow, I did not see that one yet.
Oh, you missed that one? No. He's accused of sexual harassment.
Okay.
And I'm quoting here, so I apologize for my language. let me find the quote. I can't find. Oh yeah. He said he denied saying, "I want to eat your pussy." He said, "I'm happily married. I have more than enough to eat at home." This is a mayor of a major city. But again, not denying, you know, straight up, nope, that, yeah, didn't do that. Nope.
Wow.
Yeah, I did that. No, I didn't. That is very, there's a lot of bravery? No, it's not bravery.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. I mean, I think there's a lot to take away from that, and I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I kind of feel bad from a civic duty perspective, but I do think the entertainment value is very high.
Yeah, I usually don't like to jump on the bandwagon of the crazy people that the media likes to whip up, but this one, there's just so many, it just keeps, more keeps coming out.
So yeah, I think Canada or whatever the appropriate kind of subdivision thereof should probably indict him and remove him from office. But you know, feel free to set up a news channel strictly, you know, dedicated to exposing all of those things, because I'm sure it'll make a good a good you know, maybe a week of programming if you really put it together.
I'm waiting for the miniseries. You could get like Brendan Gleeson to play him.
Oh, wild. Do you know at all? I mean, he's accused of smoking crack. Were there any other drugs that were related to him?
No drugs. There was drunk driving. He threatened to murder somebody.
Wow. That's just fantastic. Well, I mean, at least if he then he probably wouldn't be prosecuted under the new laws that are coming up in Colorado. So one of the new laws, they everyone's already heard that they've legalized marijuana for personal use. There's no facility for getting said marijuana yet. They haven't figured out the retail angle of that. But one of the provisions of use is that the smell of marijuana being burned cannot kind of leak out into like neighboring regions. And I don't know exactly how they define that. Like if I'm in my yard, I shouldn't be able to smell someone smoking weed in the adjacent yard, I believe is the way it essentially works. And the way that they're enforcing this is that they've deployed I can't remember the exact name. It's like the field olfactometer, and it essentially looks like a trumpet that you hold over your nose and you smell the air. And
good news, everyone! They've developed a smelloscope.
Yeah. It's straight out of Futurama. I mean, it really is ridiculous. Did you see the accompanying video in the link that I'd sent earlier?
No, I didn't.
So the way it works is it has this it has a filter on the front of it, and it's got like little notches that are based on some measuring scale, and I think it's something like. It's supposed to be like concentration, so the higher the number, the more concentrated the smell is, because you can smell it in a like if you the way that they describe it is like a ratio of like 500 of 500 parts of clean air versus one part of foul air, and that's how strong it is. Like if you can smell it at that level. So they have the scale. So if I guess they're using it to measure how strong a smell is. So if it's stronger than some art this arbitrary measure, then they can ticket you essentially for how strong the smell is. And the article brings up this really good point that like, yeah, they can say that, you know, you can if you can smell it above this kind of threshold, then it's a nuisance to that neighbor or whatever. But I feel like it's a slippery slope to like, you know, if you let one rip in an elevator, are you gonna get ticketed? I just feel
You
like
should
there's
be. You rip it in an elevator. What the hell?
it's just a very interesting a really interesting use of technology, I think.
Well, one of the arguments against legalization of marijuana is monitoring people who are driving under the influence. It seems like this could be a good method to, help figure out some sort of system for determining that.
Well, I think it's fine if you're using a system that, or if you're using a delivery method for your marijuana that is burned. But I mean, with the advent of kind of the vaporization kind of technologies that are around cigarettes, I'm sure they've already been explored for marijuana.
They've been more than explored. They've been marketed.
Marketed and tested and approved. But I feel like they and then not to say, you know, and then, you know, if you're eating it, right? I mean, there's no residual kind of and smell that I think comes from that, I wouldn't think, anyway, unless you're in that
Well,
previously
I don't think it
mentioned
would be
elevator.
right. I don't think it would be the be all end all of any sort of roadside sobriety, but it could be one element of a detection system.
Sure. I mean, I think the interesting thing about the olfactometer is that, as far as I know, it doesn't enhance your ability to smell. All it does is it quantifies the strength, the effective strength of something. So if you can smell it with the olfactometer, you can smell it without it. There's not a it doesn't change how strong something is. It just lets you measure how strong it is, so you can give a non-arbitrary measure
So it's not going to make them spend more time in the donut shop.
of. No, as far as I can tell, like if you it like a like you were saying, like if the cop kind of pulls you over and smells it without the olfactometer there, it's there. It's not it's
Right.
you don't need the olfactometer to tell if it's there or not, in other words.
But as far as evidence,
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it's still based on a person smelling it. So it's still based on the measurer to say, yeah, I smell it or I don't. And so from that perspective, it's not really evidence. It's just kind of, I don't know. It's still subjective at that point. You still have to say yes or no if you smell it, and you have to trust that the person is actually smelling
it's true.
So possibly not a thing. I think the fact that you have to kind of wear it kind of over, because it has to completely envelop your like nose, and I don't know if it you have to cover your mouth too, but you essentially have this big cone that kind of covers part of your face. I think it would be really hard to take someone seriously demonstrating it. But there is a video, and I'll probably link it. The videos from just talking about scents in general, and they're showing the opener for it is just showing like horrible smells, just like this pantheon of awful smells of, like, you know, this guy with this shirt, just crazy sweaty, and like an open pit cesspool, and a like, wow, this is, I mean, just looking at it, I don't, it's like, ooh, that's probably awful. And to have to repeatedly smell it through this thing for science, I don't know.
Smell is a powerful thing.
Yeah. But I think it was it was really funny because the video was from YouTube. And I know just this last week, they being Google, has changed the commenting rules, so you can no longer comment anonymously on videos. And so this one, I feel like a lot of videos recently just seem to have no comments on them.
Yeah, my viewing of hate speech has really been reduced in the last week. My daily dose of hate speech.
Yeah, so I mean that I think is the major kind of pro for doing so. I mean, I think everyone who's ever looked at anything, any comments on YouTube can attest to the just absolute vitriol that kind of lives in the internet. If you ever wanted to look at the seedy underbelly of it, just go to the YouTube comments section. But I think the way they implemented it is still kind of flawed, and we talked about it a little bit when we were talking about how Google Plus kind of was set up. I mean, way back on the podcast, I'm sure we talked about it regarding because the way that it works is you have to use your real name to sign up for Google Plus, and the way that the YouTube comments work is you have to sign up for Google Plus in order for this to work. So you essentially have to put your real name on anything you post on YouTube, and I think that certainly changes the character of what is said, because people are generally more careful about what they say when their real name is attached. But I think it's still broken.
Well, that's because Google Plus is Google Plus.
Yeah. I mean the thing with Google Plus is that, yes, your real name is attached, so you're who you are. But there's still a lot of problems with that. Like, for example, I have a friend. Actually, our guest last week, Chris Collins, he made a circle, or he joined a circle, I don't know if he made it, when Google Plus had just started, where it was only people named Chris Collins, which I thought was hilarious. So he had, at one point, there were maybe 25 people that were commenting on, you know, and because of the way it does that kind of tagging of people, you write a plus sign and then you write their name. What happens is it was impossible to tell who anybody was, because you just write plus Chris Collins and everyone would be tagged in that list. And so, I mean, I think the possibility of name collisions is a thing. That's a real kind of thing, and that kind of, you know, breaks under that system, unless you know what people look like, and that's also assuming that everyone uses pictures of what they look like on Google Plus, which is everyone, well, not everyone, a lot of people changed actually 2 weeks ago when Google decided that they would start doing the Facebook thing and using people's likenesses in kind of the targeted advertising and stuff. So yeah, Google Plus, come on. But the other side of it is people that legitimately want to use pseudonyms. And I think there is the case for that. I mean, I understand the the, you know, complete anonymity being being bad in that it can influence bad behavior. But I think not having the option for a pseudonym is kind of bad also, in that it I think there are legitimate uses of pseudonyms. I use one for Twitter and have forever. There's something to be said for using a pseudonym constantly. I mean, you still build up a reputation as that, even though it's not necessarily tied to your real name. It's still a reputation, and you may want to cultivate a pseudonym, you know, for all sorts of reasons. I mean, not the least of which is just personal privacy. I mean, I like to say and do things, you know, on the internet without it necessarily all the way, you know, always echoing back to my reputation all the time. And I think, I mean, just that level of separation. I mean, even though you could clearly look up my Twitter name and link those two, the fact that it's not, you know, in everyone's face all the time, I think is something.
Yeah. On the other hand, you don't have to comment on YouTube.
That's true. It's very true.
If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. This only hurts trolls. But if you say something nice or constructive criticism, you're not going to be upset that your name is associated with it. Other than maybe you're looking at something really weird.
Yeah, I mean, right. If you're in very polarizing content, liking something, you know, can make people dislike you, right? I mean, it is. There's one thing to like, kind of. I mean, even just liking content is plus one-ing it in your Google parlance, if you must.
No, nobody does that. No, come on, they keep trying to make it a thing. It's not a thing. I mean, we do use it to record our podcast, but still.
Yeah, it's. I think there's some stuff that needs to be worked out there and kind of worked on to make it make sense. But yeah, I just bring pseudonyms in. Just let me use whatever name I want, as long as I use you know, that name kind of continuously. I feel like that should be fine. Or don't. Google, you have a lot of money. You can do what you want.
And if you want to sponsor our podcast, we'll take it.
Speaking of people doing what they want with some amount of money, there was a guy who decided to explore what he thought was a hole in the security theater that is getting on an airplane, and that is the secure area of an airport is still potentially insecure. And what he did was he made an exploration of what essentially weapons you could produce from stuff that's accessible it's not called sanitized. What is the term for the you know, post security kind of space?
Safe zone? I'm not sure about the technical term.
I thought there was a term for the that they called it. I feel like it was like this. I want to say sanitary, but that's not the right word. But it's essentially, you're right. The safe zone of the airport, where there you know, there's no weapons. Supposedly everyone's above board when you're past the porno scanners or metal detectors or whatever's there now. And he makes, I think it's like 10 improvised weapons built from stuff that you could just buy in the in those sectors of the airport, from stores and whatever, souvenir stands. And this is, he would say that all you have to bring is your money to buy things, and then a multi-tool, which they generally will let you in with if it doesn't have a knife. And so he set those parameters and would go and then pick out the stuff. He makes a big disclaimer that he inventories these things and then goes and buys them in stores so as not to actually produce a weapon in the safe area of an airport, because that would probably be a federal crime at the very least. But the stuff that he produces is kind of crazy. I mean, some of the equipment is nuts. Like he makes a break action shotgun that is powered by a hairdryer and uses an Axe body spray can as propellant. kind of nuts. I mean, there was he doesn't show specifically how to make any of the stuff, which I think is probably good on him. And he also goes to say that all of the things that he's made, he reports to the TSA as a service, which I think, you know, is real. I think that's a good way of doing it. I mean, he's definitely trying to be the white hat hacker, if you use that kind of terminology, which I think is a thing. I really hope that he doesn't get raided for for the things he's doing, but it's really impressive the stuff that he goes through. I mean, the one, did you see the one where he makes, it was essentially a frag grenade out of a coffee can or a coffee thermos?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of tell what he's doing and not exactly what he's doing to build it. And then, but the end result is that he shows a sped up version of him building it. And it's something like 5 minutes and he builds a pretty, what looks like effective grenade. I mean, he tosses it kind of, and then, you know, they have the slow motion of explosion of it. And it's not like a little cap gun going off. I mean, it looks like it would probably turn a lot of heads and probably make a lot of people run, at the very least, if it isn't actually used as a fragmentation device. I mean, it's kind of crazy. So, you know, watch out for people buying Axe body spray in the.
You should just do that in general.
At airports, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think watch it, you know, with kind of a skeptical eye, but then watch it as kind of a thing like, yeah, it's there's a lot of things kind of broken with the kind of song and dance that we do for getting on an airplane. So, I mean, one of the other things that came up, and I'm going off script for just a minute, is did you see the thing about Virgin America and their like security video?
Or no.
They made kind of the in-flight safety video. They made a new one that's essentially a musical version of it, and it was being held up as this is really great. It's, you know, people will pay attention during the thing. And all I could think of as I was watching it is, if I had to see this every single time I got on a plane, I would probably hurt somebody. Because, I mean, at least the kind of modern interpretive dance thing that they do about pointing where the exits are and stuff, you can kind of tune out because it's just the person talking. And if you've seen it before, you've seen it before. You know, it's mostly common sense about where stuff is. But if you've not seen it before and you pay attention, you know, it's fairly, you know, watchable and pay, you know, you can pay attention to it. Whereas the Virgin America thing is like a 6 minute music video. And if everyone has to watch it, everyone has to watch it. That's how planes work. It's just, they pop up, the video pops up. You can't like listen to music because it overrides any of the music in the plane or anything like that. And I would find it more annoying, I think. And it's so long. It's like, it feels like it goes on for a really long time, and it's not even catchy. I mean, if it's going to be a song, it should be something that gets stuck in your head, and it's just not. So, anyway, sorry, Virgin America. But I think with that, we're We should probably roll into spoiler territory. I know I saw Thor: The Dark World over the weekend. Did you also see it?
I did see Thor: The Dark World in the last week.
So we're gonna move over into spoiler territory. So if you're anti spoilers, I guess you can. I don't know. You shouldn't stop the podcast. You should probably just. You know, keep listening.
Deal with it. That's what you should do.
Yeah, or listen to a previous one where we don't spoil Thor: The Dark World, and everything's okay, right?
But even when we go into spoilers, they're not hard spoilers. Right. We usually speak in generalities.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think in general, I liked the movie. Kind of. I liked it. I mean, I came away with a you know, positive feelings overall about how the movie is. It doesn't feel well, for about 99.99% of it, it doesn't feel like a setup for another movie.
Yeah. it was like a real movie.
Yeah, it's a self-contained story, which was my main problem with the first Thor movie, was that it is so much let's just introduce all of these characters. Oh yeah, there's this thing which poses next to no threat, and he's able to beat it. Okay, good. Now you know who Thor is, so it makes sense for the Avengers. But I think this movie does stand alone on its own merits a little better. It still does have, you know, the link to the first movie, which it should. I mean, I think the Thor and Loki kind of thing.
It's almost more of a Loki movie.
It is. I agree.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston is awesome.
And I think has more depth to his character, right? I mean, the Loki character is really kind of just screwed about how everything's supposed to go down. And Thor, you know, is kind of, you feel like he bumbles his way into his heroic yeah. kind of feeling. It was even said during the movie, right? It's like the Loki, you know, wants the throne as much as he can, and Thor like doesn't, and Thor's gonna get it essentially if the way it works out. And it's, to some degree, it's the one that doesn't want it is the one that deserves it, but at the same time, I don't think he deserves it.
I mean, he's kind of a dick.
They kind of point it out, right? I mean, the one of his kind of warrior friends, the woman, says, you know, for a guy that's going to be in charge of the Nine Realms, he kind of really focuses all of his attention on just like one of them. And I think that's one of the things that is not really touched on that much. I mean, there's other kind of realms and or planets or realities or however they're expressing it, and we really only see one piece of it, and that's fine because it would probably be kind of ridiculous to show all of those other ones. I mean, but it is that kind of like, how do you reconcile his character, because he is essentially a god the way that everything breaks down, and it's just hard to connect with him and sympathize or have it make sense. I mean, that was
I think the movie did a good job bridging as a bridge piece to the next phase of the Marvel Universe.
Sure.
With the Guardians of the Galaxy being the next movie. I mean, that's a pretty big gamble on their part.
Yeah.
It's not an Earth-based story.
Right.
And this kind of had it both ways.
Yeah, it kind of does. It does set it up as like, you know, there are more worlds. Remember that, you know, we'll spend some time.
You get to see some aliens.
Yeah, off Earth for a little bit. Although I was not super excited about the Dark Elves as a bad guy. Just kind of, they're bad, and we don't really know why, and we don't know where they're from, and the term elves kind of conjures a few other things, and I think it's hard to divorce them from the Lord of the Rings kind of connotation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think it comes up that, okay, before the kind of realms made sense, the elves were, the dark elves were there, and they want to return everything to darkness. It's like, okay, so, all right, I can kind of buy that, but I don't see why. It's still...
Because it's a comic book bad guy?
Yeah, I guess. I guess. I feel like that could have been better developed a little bit.
Well, and with the after credits scene with them, you know, giving away the Aether or whatever that thing was.
Yeah.
And it's one of those gems.
Yeah.
So they're setting up the Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
Which is pretty, that's pretty.
That's a lot to set up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Infinity Gauntlet storyline is kind of, I mean, it's huge. It's huge. It's big. I mean, it was one of those, like, let's cross over the entire Marvel universe kind of ones.
Well, so, it's almost like the, did you see that thing they did on Parks and Recreation with Patton Oswalt?
Right.
Where he does the filibuster?
Yep.
That's basically what he said they should do.
Right.
And they're kind of doing it. Except without adding in Star Wars and the other stuff. But still.
I mean, I don't know. Don't put it past Disney. You never know. But I think I think there's a lot of setup to do for that. And so taking their time with it, I think, is good, because if we're gonna get more kind of quality movies out of it, that's fine with me. I mean, I think I'm a little annoyed at how much of a, like, tack on it feels, the way that they added it in. I wouldn't mind it if it were more woven into the story a little bit. I mean, even just a little bit.
I think this is like their first hints at it, because they're planning out like 10, 15 years in advance these movies they're going to be making. So it could be a decade before we actually see it pay off.
Wow. That would be kind of epic.
Because it probably won't be till like phase 3, and we're just starting phase 2 now.
Right. Right, right, right. Oh, Marvel and Disney.
And I like the director, Alan Taylor. He has directed some great TV, and it's nice to see him get a movie. And did a much better job than Kenneth Branagh did. But it's like, if there is a, you know, premium television show, he's directed an episode.
Huh. Okay.
Pretty good.
Well, let's look it up.
He's an HBO guy.
Oh, okay, okay. Gotcha. I have not caught any, I did not catch any other movies, there's something that premiered on TV. I kept seeing ads for Almost Human, probably like constantly for the last like 3 weeks. So much so that I thought that I'd missed the premiere. So when it was yesterday and Sunday, they kind of did, I guess, a 2-part premiere.
They did the 24 thing.
Yeah, I recorded it, but I haven't seen it. Did you see it, or do you know anything?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay.
I'm sure we can talk about it next week.
Yeah, I'm sort of hopeful because, you know,
it's Carl Urban.
Carl Urban, and it was J.J. Abrams produced, I think.
I don't know how much that's a positive.
I don't know how much he had to do
with
it.
He's made some garbage TV shows.
Yeah.
But it is the same guy who did Fringe, which I am a huge fan of.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other potential against is that it's sci-fi on Fox. It's like, who knows?
Well, we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me, because the look was so similar. It looks like, when I see the commercials for it, it reminds me of RoboCop, like the original RoboCop movie. And that was one of the trailers I got. I got the RoboCop remake trailer in front of Thor.
Oh, I missed. I didn't get any trailers. I got there late. Oh. I got there right as the movie started.
Yeah, I actually don't remember any of the other ones That was it. Was have you seen that trailer yet?
No.
You should look it up. I mean, it's. I think. They're it's a different movie, and I have to think of it as that. I have to think of it as they're making a different movie because the original RoboCop was so just ridiculous on so many levels that I think that it's the remake of it. I mean, they, I think, you know, borrowing the source material is fine, but otherwise it's a very different movie. The other trailer I got was the X-Men Days of Future Past one.
Pretty is exciting. It the same one that was online?
I haven't seen the one if it was the one from online.
It's probably the same.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good. That's a thing for sure. Cool. Well, I think we'll wrap this one up. It feels weird. I feel like we should be saying, you know, we'll see you later to a guest.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, Alan. We'd love to have you back.
Oh, well, you too, Brennan. It would be great to have you back, possibly even next week.
Yeah, let's shoot for next week.
Okay, we'll do that. So no promises on guests this coming week. It is. Ooh, Thanksgiving is approaching. We're gonna have to think of stuff to be thankful for. Maybe a sponsorship.
I'm thankful for Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday.
Excellent. Well, I will talk to you next week, Brendan.
Until next time.